Frank, good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. Looking forward to worshiping the Lord today. And we're going to go ahead and get started here. And so I trust that today will be a blessing to you in our morning service. And then again this evening as we worship the Lord. Let's go ahead and start with a song. Take your hymnals and turn to hymn number 12, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Hymn number 12, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
All hail the power of Jesus' Name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. On the second, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house today. Lord, I pray that you'd be with people as they are out and about in their own homes. Lord, still worshiping you. Thank you that we can worship you anywhere, Lord. Lord, we know that church is a wonderful place to be at and that we can be together. But Lord, that is not what is for us at this time. So Lord, I pray that you would be with us in our various places, Lord, that we could be together today and one spirit and in one mind as we're striving together for the faith of the gospel. Lord, I pray that your name would be glorified today through the preaching and teaching of your word, through the songs that we sing, and edification of one another in various ways. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and sing another song. Let's turn to hymn 116. 116 is the song, This Is My Father's World. 116, This Is My Father's World. We'll sing all three verses of this song.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature seems and randomly brings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, his hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, he shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. This is is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world, the battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one.
Amen. All right, one last song, hymn number 83, back to 83. And that is the song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Hymn number 83.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more.
Let's sing the last, verse 3.
When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the dwelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to Thee.
So rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the waters cold flow, bathe the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the God leads His dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Those sorrows befall us and Satan opposed, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes, God leads His dear children all.
blessing to be able to sing these good songs. I hope it was a blessing to you, and then also as I was able to sing with my son. What a blessing that is. All right, let's go ahead and grab our Bibles, and let's turn to Psalm 18. Let's turn to Psalm 18. This is a psalm that has been a blessing to me in the recent days as I've been able to go through it. It's a longer psalm, but it is indeed a very good psalm. Psalm 18, and tonight, or this morning, we're going to be looking at the first 19 verses. It's a psalm that goes through, I think, about 50 verses. We're going to be looking at just the first 19 verses. Psalm 18 is a song of deliverance. David's deliverance, his deliverance from Saul and other enemies. And what an encouragement this is. I've entitled the message this morning, A Song, The Song of a Savior. The Song of a Savior. Can you imagine with me being hunted? You know, I'm a hunter and I enjoy going out and having a good time hunting different animals. And I enjoy that. But can you imagine if the tables were turned and you were the hunted? I will tell you that seems to be a very scary thing. I would not want to be hunted. I wouldn't always want to be looking out when I'm eating, when I'm sleeping, when I'm just out walking around. Always knowing that at some point, at any point, the hunter could get me when I knew nothing about it. What a scary thing. You know, David was a hunted individual for much of his life, and I cannot imagine what that would have been like. You know, David went through a lot of struggles during those years. You know, this morning we're not going to talk so much about being the hunted, but did you ever wonder if God cares about the struggles that you're going through? You think that God cared about what David was going through? Certainly a huge thing that he was going through, a scary time, a difficult time, a trial, a struggle. And I wonder if David wondered if God cared about what he was going through. Well, in Psalm 18, we see that David did know and did understand that God cared, but also understand that David, even though he knew that God cared, still went through struggles. And again, I've been encouraged through Psalm 18, especially these first 19 verses or so. I'm not a musician, okay? So I can sing and I can, you know, maybe lead a song or something like that, but I don't play any instruments, and I certainly cannot sit down and write some sort of a composition. But if I was a composer, I think that I would try to write some sort of a song that went along with Psalm chapter 18. And I would write through it, through David's situations, and the song is a beautiful song. I don't know that I would write beautiful music to it, but I think that it could be a beautiful piece of work if somebody would sit down and compose something that went through Psalm 18. Well, we're not going to go through the music aspect of that right now, but we are going to look at some different parts of what the song could be, at least from the words perspective. Oh, it would be a wonderful song. It is a wonderful song, a song of deliverance. So let's look for a moment this morning at Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 19. The Song of a Savior. Now there's several stanzas or movements that we're going to be looking at. And just follow along with me as we go through these various movements. Let's look at the first movement of this song. It's found in verses 1 to 3. Here we have this first three verses, and we look at the worthy one. The worthy one. Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, with my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. First of all, we have the worthy one. In verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Here David reflects on who God is and his worthiness. You know, God was his strength. God was his rock. God was his fortress. God was his deliverer. God was his, he says, God. God again was his strength. God was his buckler. God was the horn of his salvation. God was his high tower. And so David is reflecting on who God is. And I believe as David writes this, I think that he's already gone through what we're going to see here in the next few verses about his struggle and his deliverance. But here David reflects. And so David is going to go back to tell of his petition to the Lord for help from his enemies in just a moment. But here we have the start. And I think David knows in these first three verses of God's goodness and all of his attributes. So we have the worthy one. Indeed, God had most certainly proved himself worthy in the coming verses. Let's see how. And I'm so excited to get into this. So let's see how God would prove to be the worthy one to David. And I would suggest to us as well. So we have the worthy one in verses 1 to 3. Next, we see in verses 4, 5, and 6, the weary one or the wounded one. Here we have David. The sorrows of death compassed me, David writes, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The weary one. We most definitely see David's stressful situation in these verses. You know, it is said, he said that the sorrows of death had surrounded him. The floods of ungodly men scared him. The sorrows of hell were round about him. The snares of death confronted him. You know, I envision being a wild animal, being surrounded closer and closer and closer and closer till an easy prey for the hunter. And as that hunter closes in the net, there's nowhere to go, and that animal panics. And here we have David standing at death's door. Do you ever feel that way? Maybe not physically like an animal or like David, but spiritually. It seems like things are closing in on you. Maybe emotionally, your feelings and your emotions are caving in and you panic. Maybe financially, you're struggling and it seems like the finances are going and the pressures are coming closer and closer. And yet I said not physically, but maybe physically. The struggles of life are there. And in our distress, we cry out to the Lord, God help! God help! God help! The weary one, David, cries out in help. Thirdly, we see the welcoming one. David says in verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him even into his ears. The welcoming one, thirdly. Who is on the other end of that call? Have you ever made a call and wondered who was going to pick up on the other end? Maybe you get the wrong person. I've certainly made that mistake in the past. I've made a phone call and somebody else with a different voice or a different name comes on the line and it's not who I was trying to get. Maybe we call and we don't get a person at all. Boy, how distressful that is when you need somebody to pick up an answer and there's no one there on the other end. I remember that it was not too long ago. I was at the church for a pastor's prayer fellowship that we have every other month. And as I was here, I got a phone call from my wife at home, and Shalissa and her numbers were falling, and she was getting into a very dangerous situation with her blood sugars. And we waited a little bit, and her numbers continued to fall, and it was getting to the point to where it was enough to where I needed to call. And so I grabbed my phone. I told my wife I would call, and excuse me, I called, and it was too bad. I couldn't get anybody, and I hung up, and I waited for a second. And I tried to call again, and I probably tried many times. I tried to call, and all I could come up with is an answering machine or a voicemail message. Folks, when we call and no one answers or the wrong person answers, it's a struggle. Oh, but I tell you this morning that the Lord is always there to answer the call, there to welcome the call with open ears. He eagerly hears always. And here we have our Lord welcoming David to hear his cry. David says in Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Psalm 40 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry." And then in Psalm 145, we read in verses 18 and 19, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." We have the worthy one. We have the weary one. We have the welcoming one. And like the father of the prodigal son, with open arms and open ears. I want you to see fourthly in verse 7. We have the willing one. The willing one. Notice the very first word. David cries out in verse 6. In his distress he called upon the Lord. And God heard his voice. And what was God's response? Immediately, then the earth shook. So David prayed to the Lord, "God, I need you." And God's response was immediate. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. And look at verse 10. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. God doesn't waste a split moment of time that he hears to the time that he begins to work in our situation or on our situation. You've wondered, what does God do when I'm in a desperate situation? I go to him and I cry out and I hear nothing. My brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. God wastes no time every time you cry out to him. He is ready to act and respond just as he did in Psalm 18:7. Then the earth shook. Have you ever thought of it that way? Maybe this week you were at home and some situation happened and it was difficult and a struggle and you cried out to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something, that when you cried out, then God rose up to help. Folks, I want to tell you, this is such a beautiful psalm. This is such a comfort. When God hears your cry, then God stands up to help, and he doesn't waste a moment. You know, just like a parent that is a little bit a ways away from their children and maybe doing something and carrying on, and then all of a sudden that cry of distress, maybe they're fearful, you know, as they're outside that they ran into the street, or maybe fearful that they fell and hurt themselves, or maybe fearful that somebody came, or whatever the case, you know, as that parent then immediately jumps out of their chair or runs to the door, just like the parent, you know, just like the alarms that go off at the fire station when they hear that your house is on fire, those men jump out of their seats and ready to go. That is the willing one. Folks, this is what happens when God's children cry out for help. This is so super encouraging. This is who God is, and this is what He does. This is what He does when you cry out to the Lord in your weak situation. I want you to see, fifthly, the wroth one. Notice verse 7, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." Can you believe this? You cry unto the Lord, and God reacts in such a great and passionate, caring way. You probably didn't know that this is the way God responds to your cries for help. You know, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. God is a God that we're reading about here, the wroth one. Here we see His passion for you. God does care. Have you ever had somebody react with great passion and care? A lot of times this is in a negative way. Somebody's there and they're having a good day, and then they hear the news, and you can see it as they listen. Their face changes, their demeanor changes, their eyes change, and all of a sudden they get, in some cases, angry, in some cases, very sad, in some cases, very passionate about the issue in which is coming. Brothers and sisters, that is what God goes through when His child cries out to Him in distress. And you thought that God didn't care. You thought that God was silent. No, my friend, He does care. And we see the wroth one. What a beautiful situation. Here we see the earth shaking. We see the earth trembling, and the foundations of the hills moved and were shaken. Notice that in verse 8, smoke came out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. My friend, God cares about you. And when you're in distress, He comes immediately to help. And He passionately cares about this. Oh, how God cares about your situation. Number 6, we see the wonderful one. The wonderful one. Look at verse 11 to 15. "He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. 13. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils." Here we have the wonderful one. We see the power. We see the might. We see the action. Have you ever been sitting at home on an evening and you could tell that there was a storm brewing? Things were so delightful before, and now you look up and we see the clouds coming in at a great pace. The clouds come in and quickly it becomes dark. As the darkness arrives, then the wind begins to blow, and with it comes the rain and the lightnings and the thunder, and then that rain turns to hail, and before you know it, great earthquakes are happening. And it's like the earth erupts. Now we get back to this passage, my friend, and understand that this is what happens when God's children cry for help in distress. If you had any doubt that God cared, I hope that that doubt is gone. Wow. Wow. The wonderful one. Something tremendous is about to take place. Why? Because God cares for his little pleading child. And I want you to see lastly, the last movement of this beautiful song, the winning one. The song of a Savior. We see lastly, the winning one. The winning one. Look at verses 16, 17, 18, and 19. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Have you ever been in distress and then somebody important showed up? Somebody showed up to the rescue. Here we have the Father showing up. To the rescue, the Father comes. The one who is already victorious. The one who already is almighty. The one who already is stronger than all. Saved, rescued, again. Folks, it's who he is. This is not just some characteristic. No, this is him. He is the Savior. He picks me up. He pulls me out. He pulls me out and he sets me on the rock. Delivered. And then his smile. His smile to me. That smile that says so much. He loves me. He's pleased with me. He cares about me. He delights in me. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The song of a Savior. Truly a beautiful song. Folks, Jesus does care about what you're going through. Sometimes it seems like it's behind the scenes, but indeed, mark it down, he is taking care of our business. That prayer that you cast before the Lord. Maybe you haven't heard anything or seen anything, but I want to tell you, at the cry of your voice, that worthy one, to the weak one, to the wounded one, oh, he came, and he came to deliver you because he cares. He cares. He cares. We know that he is at work. I don't know about you, but what a beautiful song. The song of a Savior. I, until I looked at this psalm, never understood God's response to me when I cry out for help. But you mark it down. This is who he is. And this is what he said he would do. Take comfort, take joy, take courage, This is what God's doing for you, and He is going to complete His work. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. The song of a Savior. Father, I thank You so much that You love us so much, that You're so welcoming when we cry. You come to our rescue immediately. You come and You're passionate and caring about it. And You come and You wonderfully do so many things for us. And You pick us up and You deliver us. God, thank You. Thank You for Your care. Thank You for Your love. God, may we trust that this is who You are and what You're doing for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust that this wonderful psalm has been a blessing to you as it has to me. Amen. Praise the Lord and thank Him for His reactions and responses to you. For now, we're going to be done this morning. We'll be dismissed. Looking forward to getting back together here later this evening. Take care.